ESPN 580 Orlando's live, local, and loud.
It is 6 o'clock, and we are live, local, and loud here on ESPN 580. We're broadcasting from Victory Casino Cruises Studios, home of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. Also on Twitter, at ESPN 580 Nick, and at The Jerry Daniels. Got a full 2 hours to be here today. Woo-hoo! On a Taco Tuesday.
Yes.
A Taco Fall Tuesday.
It is official, actually.
UCF is in the NIT, the Final Four tonight. They will take on TCU at 9 o'clock on ESPN TV. Do not miss it tonight as the Knights play in their biggest game in their college basketball program history. Johnny Dawkins in his first season has this team 2 wins away from an NIT championship. Some said that it didn't matter and nobody cared. Others are quite ready to go for UCF to take on TCU tonight. We'll get into that. We'll get into whether or not there will be an NBA female head coach in the next 5 years, 10 years, who knows, as well as baseball season's right around the corner. The Lightning are in the playoff race for the NHL playoffs as well. A full 2 hours to be here today. Let's get to it, though. It is the top six at six, the top trending stories from across Orlando.
And now, the top six at six.
Tonight's Top 6 at 6 is brought to you by our friends at Orlando Dodge. Find out why I drive a Ram 1500. My buddy Scott Edwards, who's in studio with us tonight, drives a Ram 1500 at OrlandoDodge.com. All right, well, to no one's surprise, the number one trending story in Orlando is it's Taco Tuesday. And I'm not just saying that from the hip. It is officially Taco Tuesday. Yes. Today was sanctioned by the county and city mayors today, and it was announced that officially, in honor of UCF success, the day will be proclaimed evermore as TACKO Tuesday. I know ahead of this show on Scott Inez in the afternoons with my buddy Nick Grinowitz, you guys were saying maybe this is a little bit too much.
No, why don't we say that? We said this was not, my point, actually, it had nothing to do with the Taco Tuesday. It had to do with every time Taco Fall is featured somewhere. I feel like it's not formed as, look at this good up-and-coming basketball player. It's, look at this circus freak. And I just wonder what effect that has on a guy that young, you know, still developing. And
he's got a good head on his shoulder.
He does. He has a great head on his shoulders, and I hope that it does not affect him at all. I just have a problem with him being on the cover of the New York Daily News, and it's like Taco Fall, the 9-foot man. Come watch him at Madison Square Garden. I just want the kid to not have that necessarily weighing on him.
All right. Well, I was kind of involved a little bit in this naming of this day thing, and I can tell you that as we went through the food chain of this to get this approved, up in UCF, excited.
Yes.
But Johnny Dawkins, I don't know how much I can say without getting in trouble, but Johnny Dawkins and the team around him, they are concerned about the well-being of their kids. And they aren't comfortable with the amount of attention that Taco Fall has been getting. So, with that said, tomorrow at Tijuana Flats, and I can say that because they're officially sponsoring this, you can get free tacos in honor of UCF's success.
That was the point that I was going to make, is that it's just all the attention. It's not on UCF basketball. It's on Taco Fall, who's still new to this country, new to the game of basketball. I just hope that he can handle it all. In fact, Taco said earlier yesterday during the media luncheon that he's excited for the game.
I mean, we feel great. We prepare all week long. The guys were great. Practice was great. The coaches made sure they prepared us for everything we should face this couple of games. So we're very excited.
So UCF and TCU tonight, 9 o'clock. UCF looking to get to the championship game of the NIT.
2.
All right, the Orlando Magic are confusing everybody. They do find themselves in second to last place in the East. They will never have a chance to catch up with Brooklyn, but am I getting excited for no reason this season? Am I seeing things that no one else is seeing? Is there something that the team is planning for next year and building around? Because I get excited now more in the later part of the season where they have no hope than I did the entire first half of the season.
What are you excited about?
I see things in this team, in the young talent, that all of a sudden now is developing where I have hope. Even with Vukovic last week saying that he wants out.
I need you to specify, though. What have you seen that you're excited
about?
The
team seems to be playing better together. Well, they seem to have more energy over the last 2 weeks.
I think the move towards small ball after the Serge Ibaka trade has helped this team space things out. Aaron Gordon is more comfortable at the four. Evan Fournier more comfortable at the three. So what you're seeing is kind of the team thin out, kind of naturalized a little bit.
Do we have the shortest four in the NBA?
No.
Close,
no, I don't think so. No, I do not think Aaron Gordon. When Mario Hezonja's in there, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Which he's also playing the four. So, no, by virtue, Aaron Gordon is not, because Mario Hezonja is right there playing the four as well. The thing is that this team will play well, and they'll beat the Pistons by 30, which I think says more about the Pistons than it does about the Orlando Magic. Then they'll go out and they'll get roughshotted by Toronto last night. No, I don't think there's a whole lot necessarily to be excited about other than this team is embracing the small ball quality of play and, you know, may be able to build on that style moving forward. But I wouldn't say necessarily there's more to be excited about right now than there was a month, 2 months ago before that Serge Ibaka trade, because still you've got a ton of super inconsistent players that seem to pick and choose when to play well, and usually playing well is just against other bad teams.
Three.
Speaking about playing against other bad teams, the Spurs did 103-74 with LeBron bouncing out of there with an injury. I am actually maybe joining the bandwagon that they're not the heir apparent for the East at this point in the season anymore. Do they have to win games like that against the Spurs? Yes.
No, they don't have to worry about beating the Spurs until they make it into the finals, right? That was about as bad as we've seen a Cleveland team look, though, last night. And we've got Scott Edwards, our NBA insider, joining us here on the show, live, local, and loud. It's the top six at six. We take you through the top stories across Orlando. And he's a big Cleveland guy, and we'll get his thoughts on this coming up as well. But the fact is I still think that this team is dealing with some complacency. They're dealing with figuring out the Andrew Bogut injury, and Tristan Thompson's probably gassed because he's played in every single game this year. Don't worry about the Cavs until they're down in a playoff series, because there's no one in the East that LeBron James fears.
Only four teams in NBA history have won an NBA championship and not had a defense in the top 10.
Yeah, that is the one concerning statistic. Yes, it could just be that this team has a light switch they can turn on and off, and LeBron's going to take it to that next level. All I know is that I had this team dead in the water when they were down 3-1 against the Warriors last year, and LeBron went into God mode. And LeBron can still go into that God mode. I still think that he's the best player on the planet. I'm not worried about them until they are done and out.
What is your biggest concern? That they have the second worst bench since the All-Star game, or they have the second worst defense since the All-Star game?
The bench thing I'm not worried about, because, you know, you got J.R. Smith out for a lot of that time, so your secondary guys are playing in there. It's the defense. The defense should be the thing to be worried about. And listen, I mean, we'll get into this in the next segment. LeBron putting shooters on this team, like Kyle Korver and Deron Williams, hurt the defense. So in his pursuit to go out and keep up in the scoring with Golden State, he weakened the team's defensive resolve. So, I mean, that is something to take a look at. But still, I'm not concerned about them in the Eastern Conference. I would be in the finals against whether it be a Houston, a San Antonio, or, of course, a Golden State.
Four.
We are halfway through our top 666, brought to you by our friends at Orlando Dodge. If you want to find out how Orlando's oldest family-owned car dealership can take care of you, visit them at OrlandoDodge.com. All right, well, last year, Mark Cuban said that he saw the writing on the wall for the end of the NFL as we knew it. He said greed was going to take over and destroy what was America's greatest league. Is the move of the third team in 16 months from one city to another with the announcement of Vegas yesterday the sign of what greed will do to this league? Is Mark Cuban finally right?
Listen, it feels like greed, doesn't it? I'm not going to declare Mark Cuban right, because we're decades away from Mark Cuban potentially being right. This is still the number one sports league in America by leaps and bounds, and Mark Cuban would kill to have a piece of any NFL team that's out there right now. And I'm sure
he's tried several times.
He has. He's tried many times, and maybe one day he'll get in there. But the fact is that the move from Oakland has less to do about fans and them not being supported, and more to do with the stadium situation. It was awful there. And the Raiders finally had to move. I feel awful for those in Oakland. We'll get into this in the next segment. But the move to Las Vegas was the right one for the Oakland Raiders. I absolutely love it for the NFL and the Raiders. And I think it's going to work out just fine. I do not think it's going to be the quote-unquote death of the NFL.
5.
And then there was 4. This Saturday, April 1st, starting at 6:09 and then subsequently at 8:49, South Carolina, the Gamecocks will face off against Gonzaga, and then Oregon will face off against North Carolina. 39 individuals have the final four correct, according to Yahoo Sports Today. Now, that doesn't mean there's 39 people out there with perfect brackets, but 39 people in the United States or worldwide picked these four teams.
And those 39 people, the next time they fill out their brackets, they should open their eyes, right? I mean, that's what happens here for all 39 of these people. They were like, I'm just going to be bleeping different, right? And I'm just, South Carolina, right? They still, I didn't even know South Carolina had a basketball team, okay? Congratulations to them. That's just crazy nuts.
6.
By the way, when Florida lost to the Gamecocks, I kept looking to see if the old bowl coach was on the sidelines.
Spurrier?
There. Yeah.
Conflicted much?
Conflicted much. All right. The Falcons want the NFL to change rules now regarding overtime, the way overtime is set up in a Super Bowl game.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
They now want sudden death taken off the table. They're either willing to go to an equal time kickoff on both sides and each team gets a chance, or go to the old system of going back to a clock. And after seeing what happened in this Super Bowl, do you care? I mean, it made for maybe the greatest Super Bowl finish I've seen in the last decade.
It absolutely
so
did.
So do we care?
It absolutely did, except for the moment we were all like, did he get in or not, right?
Okay.
I mean, like, did he get it? What happened? Did White get in? I don't know. Here's the thing to the Atlanta Falcons. You want this rule changed? You were up 28-3. By the way, today, 3-28, happy Super Bowl comeback day. Shut the hell up, all right? You're up 28-3 in the second half. Stop Tom Brady. In fact, you get into overtime, you stop him one time, which nobody could have done. The 85 Bears defense was not stopping Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, all right? No one could have done. You would have gotten the ball back. Let him score a field goal. You get the ball back. The one thing you could not let Tom Brady do is get into the end zone, okay? And that's what happened. That's the rule. Don't change it, all right? At least now, after this type of a thing. Now, if the Falcons would have proposed it before, maybe I would have been a little more open-minded. But this is just sour grapes after they lost the Super Bowl that way. It doesn't matter. The Patriots were winning that game. They're up 28-3. Shut up.
When we come back, we're going to give you our ESPN Rewind. It is the best of the best right here on ESPN 580, starting with Mike and Mike in the morning and our Orlando Dodge question of the night, all coming up next.
This is ESPN 580 Orlando's Live, Local, and Loud.
Hey, welcome back. It's Live, Local, and Loud here on ESPN 580. We're broadcasting from the Victory Casino Cruises Studios, home of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. Get in touch with the show, and we ask you to, because the Orlando Dodge question of the night is coming up here at 844-225-5580. That's 844-225-5580. Text 21232. You can also hit me up on Twitter at ESPN 580 Nick and at the Jerry Daniels. The ESPN 580 Daily Rewind coming up in just a moment here, where we take you through the day's sports conversation. We'll also, I mean, all kinds of stuff for us to get to later in the show here. We'll get into UCF and the NIT a little bit more, and all of the attention that Taco Fall is getting. And we kind of happened upon that in the last segment, Jerry. I think in the 7 o'clock hour, I do want to get into whether or not this much attention for one player on a team like UCF is good for Taco Fall.
Did you see the billboards in Times Square in New York?
No, I did not.
I mean, he's on the...
He's the billboard.
He's the billboard.
Listen, I'm...
For the entire NIT Final Four.
I don't mean to make this sound like it is negative towards Taco Fall, but I mean, like, it's the NIT Final Four. The NIT does lack some interest from casual sports fans.
Sure.
He's the bearded lady of this circus. I mean, that's what they're turning him into. And I do not mean for that to be negative. I love Taco Fall, and I cannot wait to get that email later, okay? But that complaining person. But, okay, that's what they're doing, and I don't like it. I would much rather that you focus on the team and the team only and not the one individual player, because I worry about what it does to the psyche of a guy like Taco Fall, who's from the Sudan, who's only been in this country for only a little while, right? I mean, he came here just before enrolling at UCF,
yeah.
I believe.
And I don't play basketball for, what, a year?
Yeah, I think it was 1 year or something.
Yeah.
And now here he is. I have a difficult time with that. That's all. The amount of attention he gets and what effect it'll have on him. We'll get to that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour.
Nick and Jerry weigh in on the day's sports conversation. It's the Daily Rewind.
It is the ESPN 580 Daily Rewind. We take you through the day's sports conversation. Let's start in the morning with Mike and Mike. They're on 6 to 10 a.m. today. Greeny and Golic talking about the fan reaction to the Raiders' move out of Oakland to Las Vegas.
What do you think of this from Randy on the NFL teams moving? NFL teams are only in 30 cities. If your team moves and you're a real fan, you will still cheer for them in their new home.
Randy, with all due respect, shut up. You do not tell anyone else how they would be a real fan.
Yeah.
Then nothing galls me more. Fans come in all different shapes, sizes, colors, and everything. And everyone can be a real fan in his or her own way. So I have zero, there is not a single part of me, nor should there be of anyone, who would tell any fan in Oakland who feels deserted and hurt by this and says they're no longer going to support the Raiders or they're not a real fan.
Yeah, this is easy. If you as a Raider fan anywhere say, I am done supporting that team, I would say, okay. And if you're a fan and you say, I'm following them wherever they go, I'd say, okay, it's your right either way.
That's Mike and Mike. I agree with those guys. It's kind of the own individual fan. I don't think it says anything about your fandom for a team if they leave, if you want to stop following that team. Listen, some people can be friends after they break up, some couples, okay? I'm not that guy. If we were dating, we break up, you're dead to me. That's just the way that it is. I have that kind of demeanor. I don't know why. We'll call it a character flaw, whatever it
is. Someone I used to know.
I'm not right. I'm not friends with one single of my exes. I'm just not. Some people are like that. Others, they can look past being jilted by another and still, of course, follow that team or that person and have a relationship with them. I can't. I shut that window.
Is it Blues Brothers level? I mean, are you Carrie Fisher?
I'm not Carrie Fisher. No, I mean, I'm completely ignorant of the other person. That part of my reality is just over. And like I said, we'll call it a character flaw.
Here's my problem that no one's talking about. Yes, they're going to get a $750 million stadium. Yes, things in Oakland are pretty bad. Has anybody else mentioned the fact that they're going from the number 5 television market in the United States to like number 38?
This is why I don't think the move sits well with owners, but it's a quick money grab, right? Because the owners voting yes on this is not yes, we think the Raiders should move out of Oakland and to Las Vegas. It's we'd like relocation money and we'd like a big suitcase full of money delivered to our house later. And that's what this was about. I think the NFL will actively try to move another team, whether it be the Chargers who just moved to San Diego, move them up into Oakland. But a new stadium deal has to get figured out first.
Here was my favorite part of the day. The only team that voted no?
The Miami Dolphins.
The Miami Dolphins. Do you remember the Miami Dolphins crying and whining 4 years ago about their stadium?
Absolutely. That's listen.
And they didn't get their downtown deal. They ended up still in the suburbs.
It's a PR win for Stephen Ross. It's him saying, we care about the great people of Miami and we'll never leave. Because he already got what he got kind of what he wanted with a big renovation, right? It's Mike and Mike on from 6 to 10 a.m. here on ESPN 580. Today, the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts and Dan Le Batard openly opining about this new Arkansas law that could allow fans to bring guns into stadiums.
Arkansas, hell you doing? Like, hell are you doing, Arkansas? I want somebody from Arkansas that I could ask just simply over and over again, hell you doing? Like, why? Is anyone in Arkansas asking that question? Why is that necessary? It's only necessary if someone else has a gun.
Right, to protect yourself. But you wouldn't need to protect yourself if you weren't allowing guns into the stadium. Yeah.
It's a little something called the Second Amendment.
I am not inherently anti-gun. You know, guns don't kill people. People kill people. Okay. But not in stadiums. Does anyone have a theory? Somebody. Give me a theory. Honestly. Somebody. Give me a theory. Guns in stadiums, what?
I can't agree with Dan Le Batard more here. And I'm also not an anti-gun guy. But what the hell?
Yeah.
I mean, where is the positive in this at all? Let's mix guns in every gun range you go to. What does it say? No alcohol, right? Let's mix fans, emotion, high drama situations with guns and alcohol. You know what? Case in point, Kentucky fans, okay, at the NCAA tournament. Scotty and I talked about this earlier today. They have pretty much destroyed the reputation of official John Higgins's business business, okay? Yeah, right. They've destroyed it in the aftermath of this. If they were in Arkansas, John Higgins would be dead.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I think
it's a state that can't even pronounce the name of its state. What is it? Arkansas?
Arkansas. Arkansas is what it's called.
And the funny thing is it's the weirdest state. They have, what, the 5th biggest museum in the world? and it's in a town that Walmart just decided to build it in?
I just don't see any positive to this whatsoever, other than if something out of Red Dawn happens, Arkansas can defend itself while they're at the Razorbacks game. Yeah. It makes no sense. Don't do it. Guns at stadiums, it's never a good thing. I can't see one single reason why you would do it. Russillo and Cannell on from 1 to 4 here on ESPN 580. Today they talked about the Cavaliers' struggling defense.
They're awful on defense. Not bad, worse than bad. They're awful. They're the second worst team since the All-Star break in defensive efficiency. And before you start, you know, we've been over this. The defensive efficiency is not some sort of made-up, convoluted math equation. It's how many buckets are you giving up per 100 possessions. And only one team is worse than them since the All-Star break. When you go through the individual statistics defensively for this team, there are a lot of guys that are really, really bad. Korver's awful. Channing Frye's bad. Derek Williams, who plays minutes, is bad. You know, Kyrie Irving has never been good. He's bad. So this group that we thought was going to shoot teams to death because their offense is still really good, collectively has been awful defensively.
Priscilla and Cannell, 1 to 4 here on ESPN 580. As I said in the last segment, LeBron trying to keep up with the offense of the Golden State Warriors by adding Korver, by giving more minutes to other outside shooters. Channing Frye is another one. He's completely cannibalized the defense of this team, and now they're struggling to keep other teams under 100 points, and they're losing. And they've been the second worst team in defensive efficiency since the All-Star break. The one team that's worse, the LA Lakers. The Lakers are not interested in winning. The Cleveland Cavaliers are. It's a tough problem now.
Do you think they should just shut LeBron down now for the rest of the season?
No. We're far past that point where you can give the guy a week off like he took a couple of seasons ago. LeBron has to play this thing out now and finish up the last week and a half of the season here and go into the playoffs with some momentum. But I'm not worried about the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're still going to make it into the NBA Finals. That brings us to our Orlando Dodge question of the night. We know who the Final Four are in the NCAA tournament. What are your Final Four teams in the NBA? Is it the Cavs? Is it Golden State? Could the Celtics get into the mix and the San Antonio Spurs? Give us your Final Four teams in the NBA playoffs. 844-225-5580. That's 844-225-5580. The text 21232. That is 21232 with Jerry Daniels. I'm Nick Grunowitz. Our NBA insider Scott Edwards joins us next as well to give us his Final Four teams. It's live, local, and loud here on ESPN 580.
This is ESPN 580 Orlando's live, local, and loud.
Hey, welcome back. It's live, local, and loud here on ESPN 580. We're broadcasting from the Victory Casino Cruises Studios, home of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580. The text 21232. Also on Twitter at ESPN 580 Nick and at the Jerry Daniels. The Orlando Dodge question of the night. Who are your Final Four teams in the NBA playoffs? We know who the Final Four is, of course, in the NCAA tournament. Who are the Final Four at the end of the NBA playoffs, or as we head into the NBA, or as we head into the conference finals in the National Basketball Association? Don't want to forget to let you know our friends at Tijuana Flats have named today Taco Tuesday, as in Taco Fall. Yes,
County.
The city as well. UCF in the NIT tonight. In the Final Four, they take on TCU at 9 o'clock on ESPN TV. They are taking Taco Tuesday, of course, to Wednesday. That being tomorrow, free tacos to anyone who wears black and gold in support of UCF men's basketball when you go into an Orlando area Tijuana Flats tomorrow. 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. We're going to get into the Final Four in the NBA playoffs here coming up. As well, our ESPN 580 NBA insider Scott Edwards joining us here on the show as well. Scott, of course, he's a big Cavs fan too. The Cavs get blasted. Yeah, I wouldn't be laughing. They're number 2 in the Eastern Conference. There's only one team that's better than them right now, and I don't think LeBron is afraid of the Cleveland Cavaliers, but of the Boston Celtics. That is, Scott. I mean, you see the Cavs get just beaten down by the San Antonio Spurs last night on TNT. First of all, it's been a long time since we've seen a LeBron team just get manhandled like that.
Oh, yeah.
And second of all, are you hitting the panic button if you're a Cavs fan right now?
I'm not. And I really don't think anybody should be, honestly. I think it's something that this team is built around. And honestly, everybody's got a concern about their defense. Well, you know, everybody thought, too, losing Dele, losing a Mozgov, wasn't going to really matter too much in the long run. But, you know, let's face it. Those guys did a lot on the defensive end, especially in the half-court sets. They really helped that team. But, again, this team is built around championships, and this is what they want to do. You're going to have these blowouts like this. And, honestly, we talked about only four teams ever winning a title outside of the top ten. You know, this is going to be – this could, let's put it that way, be a fifth team. You know, this is somebody that will come in, have a hot start. Honestly, in the East, sure, it's going to go six games. It's going to go seven games. I don't think we're going to see the type of run that they had last year. But, again, I think there is a lot of challenge out there in the East, too. Boston's doing very well. They're playing outstanding. Isaiah Thomas is one of the, you know, top guards in the NBA. You look at even, you know, the Toronto team.
That's the team that I have as the biggest threat to Cleveland in the Eastern Conference.
Again, and even last year, you know, the Cavs kind of took off a couple games, which took it to six. You know, I mean,
they got bored. It was like a cat and mouse game. I mean, they got bored with that team, and the mouse got away for a little bit, but then LeBron devoured them.
Exactly. I'm really interested in the West, though, and what is going to shake out. Houston, I mean, they're just playing such good basketball right now, and Harden's just amazing to watch. That Oklahoma City, Houston game a few nights ago was just, I mean, you just sat back and enjoyed watching those two guys go back and forth. It's the Spurs. Of course, this team is just built for success from top to bottom. They're always going to be in the hunt. You know, and we're talking about the Final Four for the NBA. I'm taking the Spurs and the Rockets out of the West. I'm going to leave out the Warriors. Trust me, it's not an easy thing to do, but I don't know. The depth of those other teams and the way a Harden-led Houston Rockets team and, you know, Mike D'Antoni is doing an amazing job out there, could potentially be Coach of the Year. I mean, there's a lot to watch out of the West. And, of course, the East, you know, I'd take the Cavs and I'll just go with the Celtics.
So those are your final four teams. Yeah. You've got Spurs in Houston and the Cavs and the Celtics there. Scott Edwards, our NBA insider, joining us here on Live Local and Loud. If you're just getting in your car, the Orlando Dodge question of the night, who are your final four teams in the NBA playoffs? As we're about a week and a half away. April 15th, the NBA playoffs begin. ESPN 580 is your home for the NBA playoffs as well. 844-225-5580, the number. The text is 21232. Jerry, your final four.
All right. In the West, it's easy. It's Golden State and San Antonio. But in the East, at this point, I'm thinking it's Boston and Toronto. Cavs don't even make it. Not only do they not make it to the NBA Finals, they don't even make it to the...
So which of those two teams beats the Cavs in seven? In a seven-game series?
Yeah, I think we're looking at a situation where...
And by the way, whichever one of those teams that beats Cleveland is losing the next series, because they're going to be just dead tired. They're going to be exhausted after doing that.
I think Washington and Toronto can beat Cleveland in a seven-game series.
Listen, I don't think you're wrong looking at Washington and kind of being intrigued, at least, at what John Wall and Bradley Beal can do. Those guys have played much better this year, despite kind of in the offseason John Wall poking and prodding at Bradley Beal and those guys kind of having a couple of spats back and forth. But, I continue to look at that Cleveland team and just say, listen, they've got LeBron. There's not going to be any problems. But you don't think they're going to make it to the Final Four?
Nope.
Listen, I mean, it's a bold declaration. We'll flag the tape. For me in the Eastern Conference, it's Cleveland and it's the Toronto Raptors. I love Boston. I love Isaiah Thomas. But something happens with ball-centric guards that always kind of need the ball in their hands to get some off in the playoffs. When you're playing better defenses night in and night out, and a team can game plan for you. And listen, Isaiah Thomas has averaged 30 a night this year, basically. He's having a great season. Doesn't mean to take away from what he's done. But teams with that kind of a guy, they struggle. And hold on to the Allen Iverson tweet or text, by the way. I get it. That is one guy, and that's one of the greatest small guards of all time, if not the greatest. Okay?
And he didn't even try.
That's why I'm a little anti-Boston Celtics making a deep run. It's why I wish they're in this position right now. They had gone all in after a Jimmy Butler or a Paul George, and they made the phone calls, just couldn't quite make it happen. Washington, I would take Toronto after instead of them because – Toronto going out and getting Serge Ibaka and P.J. Tucker. And P.J. Tucker is the guy, and Dennis Newman, who does the games for ESPN 580 for the Magic, the play-by-play broadcaster, who's just great. Mentioned P.J. Tucker in the pregame last night as being the guy that really the unsung hero of this team.
Yeah, I think I remember when I said the trade, I said it was a steal.
That was one of the under-the-radar moves, and I loved that move. And don't forget, Toronto is going to get Kyle Lowry back. Will he be 100%? Probably not. Can he get?
He's tough, though.
Yes, he's a tough guy. Can he get it going in time? I hope so. But I think Toronto is the team that can get through the East and meet the Cavs. Now, listen, they wouldn't meet in the Eastern Conference Finals if things shook out right now or if things ended the way it is right now, because it'd be the 2-4 in the second round. But still, I've got the Cavs and the Raptors. I think Cleveland's still going to end up with the top seed.
Let's talk about Lowry just for a second.
Sure.
Do you think they don't need him in the first round at all? So they don't even need to start looking at him until the second round of the NBA.
They don't even in the first round when they play Atlanta. Yeah, you're right. I mean, heck, they're seven games back. The difference between the 4 and the 5 seed is 7 games.
Yeah.
In the Eastern Conference.
It's really the top four who are all neck and neck.
Yeah,
it's a
top-heavy conference. It's and both conferences are top-heavy right now, yeah.
So he's got, I think you rest him until the second round. Maybe the second game in the second round?
No, I mean, like, if he's available to play, I'd like him to get some reps in. Maybe you're not starting him, but I'm going to get him off the bench and let him get moving a little bit because, I mean, you got to make sure that his conditioning is ready to go and that he's got a rhythm.
Yeah,
that's really tough. That is to kind of have a guy go in the second round just cold. So I would get him in and play him. But you're right. They're not going to need him to be vintage Kyle Lowry until that second round where they might end up playing Cleveland or they might end up playing Washington or something like that. But that is a good point that they don't need Kyle Lowry back next week. They need him back in 2 weeks, let's say. 844-225-5580 is the number to text. 21232. It's live, local, and loud. He's Jerry Daniels. I'm Nick Grunowitz, our NBA insider, Scott Edwards, joining us here on the show as well. The Orlando Dodge question of the night. Who are your final four teams in the NBA playoffs? We know the final four in the NCAA tournament. Who do you have heading into the conference finals in the NBA? So we talked the Eastern Conference. In the West, Jerry, you had Golden State and San Antonio?
Yeah.
Is that you had?
Yeah, I think it's almost over.
It is. It's over in your mind at this point in time. I'll ask you this. Who do you like winning that series, Golden State or San Antonio?
I think I'm confident as of late January that Golden State's coming out of the West. But San Antonio has done things that I did not believe they had the ability to do this year. I thought they were too young of a team. And it tells me right now, if you look at the talent of those two teams, I honestly believe we're witnessing the best coach of a generation. What Pop's been able to do on that transition.
It's incredible.
It's incredible.
It is. I mean, no matter
who. So next year they're going to be scary.
Next year they're going to be scary.
Yeah. Because they're only going to get better. They've got a young crew on there with the exception of two guys.
They do. I mean, they've got Simmons, the point guard. Patty Mills is kind of, he's later in his career. Who do you see up and coming? I mean, Kawhi Leonard
can take
one more step.
I think Kawhi is going to...
He's already an MVP candidate.
I mean,
how much better can this guy get?
I think Kawhi is going to turn into the next... And I don't mean his play style, but he's going to be the next Admiral. He's going to be the next Tim Duncan. He's going to step into that quiet leadership role. He'll be your next favorite player.
Yeah, but the Spurs are also going to have to replace a Manu Ginobili.
He's replaced already, basically. I mean, Tony Parker's going to be the gap.
Yeah.
But if there's a man if there's a coach in the NBA who can groom that position.
No question.
They're going to be scary next year because we're seeing the peak of Golden State and their abilities over the next couple of years. They can only get worse. It's scary to see what he's done with the Spurs at this point in the season.
Speaking of the San Antonio Spurs, Becky Hammon, who is an assistant coach on Greg Popovich's bench, she has been in the news, and Adam Silver even talking yesterday about whether or not there will be a female head coach in the NBA.
It's gonna be her.
Coming up soon. We'll get into that coming up next. Will it be Becky Hammon, and will we see that soon? Scott Inez weighed in this as well. We'll play you what he said as well. It's live, local, and loud here on ESPN 580.
This is ESPN 580 Orlando's live, local, and loud.
Hey, welcome back. It's Live, Local, and Loud here on ESPN 580. We're broadcasting from the Victory Casino Cruises Studios, home of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. The NBA Final Four. Who do you think will make it into the NBA Final Four? That's the Orlando Dodge question of the night. I myself have the Cavs and Toronto along with Golden State and San Antonio. Jerry does not have the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference.
Nope,
he has
done.
Boston as well as Washington. Boston, Washington, is that who you have?
Yeah, I'd like to. I think it's going to be Toronto and Boston.
Toronto, Boston. And on the other side, Golden State and San Antonio. And our NBA insider, Scott Edwards, joining us tonight here on Live, Local, and Loud. He has. You have Cleveland and Boston, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As well
yeah.
as San Antonio and Houston. I love that Houston team, too. I really do.
They're fun to watch. I mean, they really are.
That was the hardest team that I had left out. Houston, to me, if they get hot. They can beat anybody. Yep. They can shoot it just with Golden with anybody.
Who is the biggest threat to Golden State? Is it Houston or San Antonio?
No, it's Houston in my mind because they can game the math and shoot and make as many threes as Golden State does. Like their heat check, it probably doesn't quite equal what Golden State does when they're running at an optimal level. But and assuming, like we're all assuming, by the way, Kevin Durant is 100% healthy, right?
Yeah.
Let's say
he's
100% healthy. Houston is the team I think that can get them because don't forget they have two potential sixth men of the year coming off the bench.
But here's
this
the deal:
season.
Golden State can play defense.
They can.
Can
Absolutely.
Houston?
Yeah, I think they can. I think they can defend a little bit better. It's not in Mike D'Antoni's style. They want to beat you 150 to 130.
Sure.
The game's going to slow down in the playoffs a little bit, but I mean, yeah, I think they can get some stops if they need to. Heck, I mean, you don't win as many games as they have this season without at least needing to defend.
I have an over-under for you.
What's that?
Is the total points by Houston in the first round in the first game higher than the total points of both teams in the national championship game for college basketball?
So let's take, hold on. Let's take,
I need a pen and paper.
Yeah. Goodness, Jerry. So let's see, 5, 6, 7. So they would play the sixth seed, right? So it would be Houston. They would take on Oklahoma City.
Yes.
I'm gonna go slightly under.
Okay.
On that, I don't think they're gonna.
It's close though.
I don't think they're gonna score 140 points, and I think that's what barring South Carolina getting in. If South Carolina gets in, then yeah, I'm taking the over because South Carolina is gonna make anybody.
Okay, and that's important because I had Gonzaga and UNC, so. It probably changes depending on
South Carolina gets
but
in.
Do we have this conversation again if it's UNC and
if it's UNC and Oregon or UN?
No, it would be UNC and
what side of the bracket
Gonzaga.
Am I in here? This is a poorly
Remember,
formed
it's
segment.
Swap.
Of right,
I'm
no,
sorry.
UNC is playing Oregon in the Final Four, correct?
Yeah.
All right. By the way,
it's not your fault. In the Final Four, they swap, and then it goes based on number one seed, no matter what bracket you
they
come
reseed.
Through.
They reseed. You're right. They do. That's why I'm confused. All right. By the way, the NCAA Tournament Committee is praying North Carolina gets in. Because the television ratings. Think about it. If we go Oregon-Gonzaga, or if it's Gonzaga South Carolina, which is even worse, and that game is like a 50-48 final.
Yeah.
Thanks, no thanks.
Actually, I think Carolina UNC is going to be horrible too because everybody in the country watching that game is going to be in two states.
Yeah. Yeah, but at least you're East Coast. At least you're East Coast and you have a blue blood program. Like North Carolina needs to get in for the NCAA tournament to have a decent rating. If they're not in, I don't think anybody watches.
You say that, Bo, but according
I know, they're up 8%.
Yeah.
I know, but That's with all the packaging and stuff. Like we're into the Final Four now. Like I think if the matchup in the championship game is not a sexy matchup, like when Butler made it into the championship, when they didn't play Duke, no one watched, no one cared. You know what I mean? Like
and that was a sympathetic one for me. I was
Brad
happy
Stevens.
Butler was.
I
there.
Was too. I did. I want to get into this really quickly here, okay? But NBA Commissioner Adam Silver was speaking at an event yesterday and was asked about. Whether or not there will be a female head coach in the NBA soon. And this is a response to WFAN's Mike Francesa basically laughing at the possibility of a female being a head coach in a professional men's sport. And Adam Silver saying there definitely will. And I think it's on me to sort of ensure that that thing happens sooner rather than later. First of all, let me say I disagree. There will not be a woman head coach in the NBA. It's hard to say exactly when. There are three women currently in the pipeline, and I think we've seen in all other aspects of life while there are certain cases, for example, the athletes that participate in the NBA, there are obvious physical differences between men and women, but there can be a female, essentially a female head coach in the league. Jerry, do you think that there is going to, you do.
Now, I went to UConn, so I have a different opinion on women in basketball than most people.
Well, of course, because they're one of them. They're
110 games so far.
They're the only team in women's college basketball. Scott Inez today. You can catch ESPN Afternoons with Scott Inez on from 4 to 6 here on ESPN 5. And he was on, and he agrees with you, Jerry, and he agrees with Adam Silver that this is going to happen, and it's going to happen fairly soon.
He told ESPN today that they're, quote, will definitely be a woman coaching an NBA team. Quote, I think it's on me to sort of ensure that it happens sooner rather than later. Now, what does sooner mean? I have no idea. But I do believe in the next 5 years, we are going to see a woman as not just an assistant coach. I mean, they have female assistant coaches in the league right now. We're going to have a head coach, a female head coach in the NBA in 5 years.
Is it unfair because the G League doesn't have one yet?
Is it what?
Is it fair for them to put that pressure when the G League doesn't even have a head female coach?
Well, I'll tell you what. Maybe Adam Silver means that there will be a head coach in a professional men's basketball league. I'm not sure. I mean, he does say the NBA there, I guess. But that would be a start.
Because if in my head, it's San Antonio,
mm-hmm.
and it's when Pop decides to take...
He's going
to
step down, and
he steps up.
Okay, he steps up to be the GM or something.
I think he steps up in player operations so he can keep an eye on her, and she takes over that role.
Scott, what do you think?
I mean, that's a lot to take on for any person.
But if you're going to learn under someone...
It's true. I have a tough time with it only because just the style of play is different. And like you said, you went to UConn. You understand what type of style that is. Listen, I actually enjoy watching women's basketball. The fundamentals of it is amazing. They're amazing athletes.
It's pure basketball.
Absolutely, 100%. But although, I might even be talking myself out of it right now, but I guess the direction in which the NBA is going...
It's going to women's basketball.
Maybe it might work out well.
Oh, boy, I'm
going to
get trouble for that. But it is.
You are.
They're going back to fundamentals.
They're going back to fundamentals.
And small ball.
And small ball and flow of the game. Here's the thing. When Adam Silver says something's going to happen, usually it happens. Mm-hmm. He's going to throw all of the resources and leverage he has at making this a possibility and making this a reality because he's worried about his legacy as a commissioner.
True.
And he wants to be the commissioner that cared about diversity, that sent Donald Sterling packing, that made sure Jason Collins had a job, that moved the All-Star game out of North Carolina. Listen, if there is a discrimination issue, okay, that has to do with the NBA, Adam Silver is going to get involved in it, and this is another one of them. There will be a female head coach in the league. In 5 years, that might be a little bit quick, but I think it's going to happen, and you're right. Becky Hammond is first, second, and third on the list. Don't talk to me about Nancy Lieberman. Don't talk to me about the other female assistant or the video coordinator, whatever, that's in L.A. right now. It's Becky Hammond. She turned down the women's basketball job at the University of Florida. You don't do that unless you know something is coming. Could it be in a half decade? Maybe. But also, she's there in the trenches with these NBA players. We'll get into UCF and the NIT coming up next. It's Live, Local, and Loud here on ESPN 580.